In a 2010 Pew Research survey of approximately 400 prominent thinkers, more than 80% agreed that by 2020, people's use of the internet would have enhanced human intelligence as people are allowed unprecedented access to more information. They become smarter and make better decisions. But has this vision become reality? How many of us now struggle to read a book or an article without checking Facebook or some other app several times in the process? I think back to my younger days. I was captivated by Louis L'Amour. I'm sure some of you know who he is. And I read everything he ever wrote, and I would lose myself in his stories for hours. In his book, The Shallows, What the Internet is Doing to Our Brains, author Nicholas Carr addresses this lack of focus. And I'm quoting from the book, "I'm not thinking the way I used to think. I feel it most strongly when I'm reading. I used to find it easy to immerse myself in a book or a lengthy article. My mind would get caught up in the twists and the narratives and the turns of an argument. I'd spend hours strolling through long stretches of prose. That's rarely the case anymore. Now my concentration starts to drift after a page or two." Contrary to popular belief, you know, our brains are constantly rewiring themselves. While the process slows as we age, it never completely stops. The internet has conditioned or rewired our brains to process information in short bursts, constantly interrupted, jumping from one thought to another. This makes it increasingly difficult to focus on any one subject for an extended period of time. Because our brains are shaped by how we use them, we quite literally become neurologically as we think. The impact of this diminished focus extends into many areas of our spiritual lives. Our relationship with God requires much more than a casual, continually interrupted attention. With that in mind, let us explore three ways that our spiritual lives are affected. First is our inner need for a relationship with God. So please turn to Psalm 63:1. "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water." This is my favorite scripture, by the way. In my Bible, this chapter is titled Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Like David, we are also in a kind of wilderness, not a desert wilderness, but one defined by a fast-moving society, heavily influenced by the internet. The internet encourages superficial relationships. Quick messages, emojis, likes have often replaced genuine face-to-face conversations, making it harder to form or maintain meaningful relationships with others. This is true even of our relationship with our Father, if we aren't careful. Secondly, our need to make better choices. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. And this is a verse I know that is well known amongst the Church of God. I'm sure most everybody here could probably recite it from memory. "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live." God has given us a freedom to choose between blessings and curses, life and death. But he doesn't leave us guessing. He urges us toward what is good, toward the choices that lead to life. The internet, however, encourages to prioritize speed and brevity over deep thought. The exact opposite of how we should approach important decisions in our lives. Finally, our need to maintain a connection to God's people. Please turn to Hebrews chapter 10 and starting in verse 24, another well-known scripture. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Fellowship is in many ways the glue that keeps God's peoples connected. Our relationship with God draws us into fellowship with Him, and it also draws us closer to those who share the same values, the same journey we're on. We don't share the same values with the world, so fellowship becomes essential to our lives. It's so important that Jesus said to His disciples, "Love one another as I have loved you." Now, this isn't to say that we should completely avoid the internet, nor could we, even if we tried. It has brought many blessings, from instant access to scriptures to the ability to stay in touch with distant loved ones. But if we're honest, much of our time online isn't intentional. We scroll not to connect, but to escape. And that escape costs us our clarity, our depth, and our connection with God. Reclaiming our focus is not just a personal productivity goal. It's a spiritual discipline. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." And that's in Romans 12:2. That renewal doesn't happen passively. It takes choice. It takes stillness. It takes a willingness to step away from the noise and distraction and re-enter silence, scripture, prayer, and true fellowship. This is not easy. It will likely feel uncomfortable at first, even disorienting. But this discomfort can be a sign that something better is waiting on the other side, something quieter, deeper, and more life-giving. In digital minimalism, choosing a focused life in a noisy world, author Cal Newport describes a philosophy of intentional use, one that supports what we value most and discards the rest. That principle holds even greater weight for the followers of Christ. We are called to set our minds on things above, in Colossians 3:2. And that can happen when our attention is pulled apart in every direction. So let us become more deliberate, not just with our screen time, but with our spiritual attention. Let us guard our hearts, renew our minds, and choose practices that deepen our love for God and for others. If we value our relationship with Him above all else, then our choices, habits, and time should reflect this. Distraction is easy. Focus is costly. But in that cost lies the clarity, peace, and joy that we were made for.